Back, you're listening to When a Blue Town Turns Red, Johnston and the Trump Presidency on Rhode Island Public Radio in concert with Johnston Municipal Court. Thank you. Joining me are Richard Delfino, chairman of the Johnston Democratic Town Committee, and his counterpart, Robert Matteo, chairman of the Johnston Republican Town Committee. Robert, let's start with you. What do you think the broader takeaways are for Rhode Island, if any, of the Trump presidency? Is this going to ultimately filter down to Republicans making more gains in the legislature or have other impacts like that?
You would think so. That seems to be a very difficult ground to break for Republicans. I think the state legislature is overwhelmingly Democrat, but again, as we talked about, it is conservative on a couple of issues. The legislature seems to be more pro-gun, more pro-life. Which again thinks works with the majority of Rhode Island voters. I'm not sure if the small government message, though, if the majority of Rhode Islanders are ready, are willing to take that on at the more of the local levels yet. I do think this way Republicans can gain ground. At the state and local level is kind of follow Trump's lead in the sense of appealing to the working class in issues and stay away from some of the party agenda type of issues.
Richard Delfino, from where you sit as Democratic town chair here in Johnston, what does Trump's victory and his presidency, what does that mean for people back here in Rhode Island?
Well, I'm not quite sure yet what it means for people here in Rhode Island. I can tell you this. I think that, the Democratic Party in the state, we'll talk about the town first. We field candidates that I think very closely represent the values of the people of this town. The Democratic candidates come from working class families. They represent their constituency very, very well. In many ways, they're very, very conservative. In terms of things like spending and things like on issues of whether they're pro-life or whatever. You talk about like Johnston Democrats. They're very consistent and could in many ways be Republican candidates. They represent the people of this town. In terms of the statewide offices, I mean, I can tell you that I think that the Governor Raimondo was doing a fantastic job. I think that our congressional delegation, I mean, these are quality, respected individuals that work well on behalf of Rhode Islanders. So I don't know that unless a Jack Reed were to convert over to a Republican Party.
I don't think we're going to see that.
And I don't think so either. But would a Republican Jack Reed be electable? Probably so. So I think it's about who we vet our candidates. And I think that who they are is quite honestly more important than the party they belong to.
And I think I think there are some Democrats in the legislature who have more kind of Republican profiles, but they run as Democrats because they think they would not win election as Republicans. That seems to be your point.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I can tell you that the Democratic Party in this town is well established. The Democrats represent working class. And I think we do, and I think that we represent them well. So from a local perspective, I think, again, our candidates represent the value system that is consistent here in this town.
We acknowledged earlier that we're very early in the Trump presidency, and it's difficult to judge it in a complete kind of way based on that. But there are some people who are very alarmed by it. There have been protests about the issue of deportations and refugees. Is there any degree of alarm among people here in Johnston about the presidency and the administration so far? Robert Matteo.
That's not what I hear at the local level. The concern goes back to, will jobs come back? How fast will they go back? will they come back here? Is that possible? I hear, you know, protest about some other things, some uncertainty, and it actually comes from both sides, the Democrat machine and the Republican machine. Are their agenda items going to be squashed? I think one of the things you talked about a Democratic turnaround earlier. I think one of the key allies might be the mainstream Republicans. If some of these issues seem to get sidetracked, and I think why a lot of the majority of Republicans got elected this time around. I think they did get elected with the because of Obamacare. And some of these issues, I think the base is looking for them to repeal that, as well as, you know, and follow through with some of his things. If he doesn't do that and he gets mired in that, that could, you know, play out well better for Democrats in the end.
Richard Delfino, are you seeing concerns among people in Johnson about the issues of deportation and some of the other issues that have been taken up by the Trump administration?
Well, I think there's a certain amount of anxiety everywhere in terms of what, you know, what this agenda is that President Trump has in place. I think it's still early. I mean, I think that for the longest period of time, we've been hearing that President Trump was, you know, committed to deporting everyone who is here undocumented. And now his position seems to be that he's concentrating on those who have committed felonies and whatnot that create some risk to the community. That's a far cry from where people believe he is. So if his concentration or his focus is going to be on those people who have committed felonies and whatnot that create a risk to the community, I think that wouldn't be I think that's more palatable to people like in this town. But the sense that you know, just this you know, this broad brush that everyone is going to be deported, and that people are fearful, you know, when they leave for work that day, am I you know, will my parents return, or are my kids going to be taken out of school and whatnot? I think that still has to be all worked out. So yeah, I do believe there's a certain amount of concern amongst people in town. But I think that, you know, even in terms of like national security, I mean, I hear people say they believe that Trump is pushing the envelope that might create some world, you know, problems in countries and whatnot that could create another war and those kinds of things. So there's this sense of feeling, you know, somewhat anxious about what he's going to be doing in terms of this agenda, this broad brushed agenda. But, you know, I think that there's enough people, enough checks and balances in place that's not going to be the case. But I think that tonight, for example, his communication with the Congress and whatnot, he has the ability to really reset a little bit. And if he resets, I think he may find some common ground. You know, you talk about things like his support for law enforcement. Who's not going to be supportive of first responders and more commitment to law enforcement, homeland security, better public safety things, better schools, infrastructure in this country that creates better roads and better municipalities and support and whatnot. So if he's able to do that, I think that the Democrats will work with him for a better local community and a better America. And he's going to be successful if that's possible. But, I mean...
Well, you mentioned checks and balances. Let's talk a little bit more about President Trump's relationship with the media. There's always an adversarial tension between politicians and the press, but President Trump and his administration has taken it to a new level, depicting the media as the enemy. Robert Mattia, what do you think the rationale is for this? Does this make sense from where you sit?
I think it's a tactical play. I don't know if it's going to win. He's going to win out in the end, but I do think it's a tactical decision. I think a lot of the mainstream media miscalculated his winning on both sides, and I think he sees an opening. He sees an opening. There's a distrust of the media. I think there's a conservative bent there as well that feels that with some of these outlets that he's taking on, he will never get a fair shake. And he, keeping in line with his personality, he's going to go on the offensive. I tend to agree with him in a way that he probably will not get a fair shake. I'm not sure if it's a good idea to go on the offensive again as with the, you know, the power of the administration behind you to do that. You know, I would rather see him maybe, you know, walk away from some of those fights and not take them head on. That's a, you know, me personally. But to your question earlier, Ian, it's, I think it's a tactical move.
Richard Delfino, President Trump loves to refer to the failing New York Times, but whenever he does that, their subscriptions increase. And actually, it was the New York Times that it was the New York Times that broke the news about Hillary Clinton's email server. And is that bad for the public interest when the president of the United States is depicting the media as the enemy?
I don't think that it's good. I think that, you know, that the media was equally unfair to Hillary Clinton, except that we don't seem to be focused on that because it's Donald Trump that is out there in the forefront creating this war with the media and whatnot. But I think the same could be said in terms of the treatment that Hillary received, you know, in terms of lots of false information that was going on about her. I think that in their best interest, that whether you agree or disagree, I think that you have to stand tall and you have to face those attacks and whatnot, and people are would be more respectful of you if you were able to face it and understand that that's kind of the way the game is played today. I don't think it's fair, but I think you have to deal with it, and I think you have to rise to the occasion and stand up and be counted in those situations.
Looking ahead, Robert Mattio, what are a handful of three things that you think President Trump would need to do in order to be considered to have a successful presidency, and do you think that's within reach for him?
I do. I think if he brings jobs back here, I think if unemployment in a meaningful way, meaning that if the standard of living is raised for lower class citizens here, I think his numbers are going to go up. Maybe that goes without saying. I think also the repeal of Obamacare. We seem to be divided on that. But again, if working class people see more money in their pocket, have a little more breathing room, I think obviously that'll strengthen his base. If he can work it out so that the cost of health care, and they can attack that, the administration can attack that, and not just whether you like Obamacare or not, but, you know, get into why is health care so high and so expensive, and, you know, maybe open up the free market on that. I think, you know, overall it will, you know, he'll be considered a success. He'll be ready to, he could run for re-election.
Richard Delfino, to some observers, it looks like President Trump is still operating like a candidate. Do you agree with that view? Do you expect him to pivot to a more governmental type of leadership style? And what do you expect from his presidency moving forward?
Well, I would hope so. I think that, again, tonight would be an opportunity for him to reset. I think that he's made a number of errors in terms of how he's perceived over the last a few weeks, but again, I think that comes maybe with the territory. Maybe it's a lack of experience in terms of how government works and whatnot. But I think, again, if he can again reset and stop making some moves that are consistent with, you know, the Democratic, you know, office holders in the Congress and whatnot, along with the Republicans. He has a problem with both Republicans and Democrats. And I think that, you know, there's got to be some common ground. If there is some common ground that they can reach and they can work together, listen, it benefits all of us if Donald Trump is successful over the next 4 years. And I would hope that he would be successful. I mean, why wouldn't we be? Whether it's Democrat or Republican, I think that if he can make strides at making this country better prepared for, you know, the challenges that are coming, then you know, I hope that he is successful. I hope that, you know, this talk that you know, that those like a place like Rhode Island, where the congressional delegation and the governor, the office holders here, were anti-Donald Trump, and that somehow there's going to be a price to pay for that. You know, I hope that's not the case. I hope that they can find common ground where we can get, you know, the federal funds to assist in some of these infrastructure problems that we currently have here in the state. You know, if we can rebuild schools and whatnot. I think he said some of the things that general people in the state, you know, are feeling. You know, I think if he can create a safer environment worldwide, be more of a leader than someone who is more theatrical in the way he does business, then I think that he could be someone that'll be successful and whatnot. I think he has the opportunity. I hope that he takes advantage of it and does well for all of us.
I have one last question for our panel before we close out for the evening. There was a professor in Washington, I can't recall his name, but he was one of the few people who predicted Trump was going to win. And he also predicts that Trump is going to be so controversial as a president that the Republican Congress will impeach him. Robert Mattio, do you expect anything like that to happen, or do you think President Trump will serve out his first term?
It's a good question. I think he is a wild card in that sense. We've seen it throughout the election. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't say that he's headed for impeachment yet. I think we're going to see how that plays out and how well he gets along with Senate Democrats Senate Republicans and House Republicans. We've got to see that relationship take place. It does, on some fronts, seem to be more antagonistic, but we're seeing some headway made with different sides of the Republican Party. So I would say that's probably unlikely now. But
we're a little short on time, so let me put the question to Richard Delfino. Do you think President Trump is going to serve out his term, or is it more likely that he'll get impeached or run into some other type of trouble?
I would hope that that's not the case. I would hope that there is no reasons for impeachment. I think that it's still very early to assess what type of president he's going to be. You know, and I'll just again point to this evening. I think that he has an opportunity to send a message loud and clear that we should all be on the same page, working for a better, you know, America and a better local community, better state community. And I think he has the ability to do that. I mean, if you're talking about impeachment, you're talking about a complete failure of what, you know, what this country stands for. And I don't think that would be beneficial to anyone. So I'm hoping not.
All right. Thank you so much to our panel, Johnston Republican Committee Town Chairman Robert Mattio and Johnston Democratic Town Chairman Richard Delfino Jr. Thank you also to Rhode Island Public Radio General Manager Tori Malatia, our News Director Elizabeth Harrison, and our stalwart Interim News Director Kristen Gourlay. Thank you to Chief Engineer Aaron Reed, the Town of Johnston and Johnston Municipal Court. And thank you so much to all of you. You've been a wonderful audience. Please put your hands together and thank you for joining us.